After these things, I heard a large... I already messed up. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lord. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself, and he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and he called his name the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. And he himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who works signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who were worshipped in his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh.
Nope, I'm switching over. Thank you, brother. You read real good. That was good. Thank you. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your kingdom will come and your will be done right here on earth like it is. Point to yourself, your earth, your dust, right here on earth like it is in heaven. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your word goes forth and accomplishes what you want to accomplish this morning. Lord, speak to our hearts. Convict us of sin. Convict us where we need conviction. Comfort us where we need comfort. Pour the joy of the Lord out, God, because there is great joy in repentance. There is great joy when we're forgiven. There's great joy when we're clean. There's great joy when we're free. And when you're free in Jesus, you are free indeed. So, Lord, we pray against every demonic spirit, every curse. Everything that's been leveled against your children, God, will be made null and void by the teaching of the word, for the love of the word, for the obedience of the word of God. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. There's a scripture, I think it's in Amos, that said there's a famine in the land, but it's not a famine of food. It's a famine of the word of God. It's a famine of knowing the word of God. It's a famine of following the word of God. Yeah, Janet gave Donna a Charisma magazine. I haven't looked at one, and I mean, I love Charisma. I just haven't seen one in years, and I don't get. Do you get regular? They give them to you free. Well, praise God. But this guy's name is Stephen Strang. He's the editor, and I've heard him before. I heard him at speak somewhere one time. He's very, Brownsville was it, very strong man of God, believes in revival, believes in that God's going to do wonderful things, but he's written a new book, I think, I can't think of the name of the book, but it concerns America. It concerns where we're at right now. And you ever heard of George Barna? And I don't have all the facts with me, but he does statistics, but it's usually all Christian and family and the church, a lot about the church. But he talked about only 2.8% of the ministers of the gospel ever deal with any political or social issues, because it causes people to get offended. And I believe that. I believe that's probably a true statement. I don't ever want to not say something because it's going to offend somebody, because you'd be guarding your words every time you got up to preach, unless you just said some nice little ditty that'll make you feel good. And anyway, it talks about the Word of God. It talks about how many young people, millennials, and what's the Z? I think Z general, I don't know. But how many of them do not believe the Word of God? They do not know the Word of God. They don't know simple Bible stories. It's like Chuck. They wouldn't have known if I started singing with them when they're 60 years old, Jesus loves me. They wouldn't know that. I mean, that's how illiterate, biblically, children are. And if we release our kids into this world without some biblical knowledge, I'm talking simple Bible stories. They don't know about David and Goliath. They don't know about the story of creation. They don't know about Abraham and Isaac. I mean, just the ones that you know, and they're just solid in you. You've got no problem believing that they are very solid in you. And so we got to do something to change this, you know. And I was thinking, you know, plans. You can make, oh, let's do this, or let's have this. I believe, for me, for us, okay, we can't make everybody else go the right way, but we can make our own children go the right way. We can make our spouse and us in one accord, right? I'm telling you, you could easily, listen, this is easy. Easy, easy, easy. Okay, you just pray about it. No, don't pray about it. Do it. Get in a Bible reading program where you can push a button and it will speak the Word of God. As a family, sit down. If I don't want to, Dad, I'm not going to say shut up. That's rude. No, we're going to listen to the Word of God from beginning to end. And you know, you do it in 15-minute bites. In fact, it's more like 12 minutes. I mean, okay, find the time. Come on. Come on. 12 minutes of your day, could you find the time to speak the Word of God into your house, and you don't even have to speak? I realize you're going to get to Chronicles, and there's going to be some parts that are, you think, well, why did God put this in the Bible? Because he's very oriented with people and generations and families, you know. There's a reason all that's in there. But Genesis is so exciting. And in the New Living Translation, if you got little children, you might want to go with another translation, because it is so graphic, the things that were going on in the Bible at that time. It's exciting. So it'll be like Genesis, a couple of chapters. It'll be Matthew, maybe not even a whole chapter, maybe depending on how long it is, a little Psalms and a little Proverb. So please do this for your family. Do this for yourself. This is the year of the favor of the Lord, but unless we get the Word of God ingrained in us, things cannot change. And people, you know, it's not only reading the Word of God, it's believing the Word of God, okay? And a lot of the church now believes the Word of God is not relevant anymore. Well, if it's not relevant, you're not saved. If it's not relevant, it's not good for nothing. If what he says about your sexual behavior is not right, then what he says about salvation is not right. I mean, it's just, you cannot pick and choose, because there was an evil king, and I can't even remember his name. I'm sorry, my biblical literacy. But he was sitting there by the fire one night, and he'd read something he didn't like, and he'd take a penknife, and he would cut it out, throw it in the fire. Every time he found something he didn't like, he'd cut it out and throw it in the fire. Does anybody know that king's name? Who? It may have been. You can find it. Just Google it. Not now, though. I'm just saying, you know, I heard somebody teaching on this one time. They said the problem with the church is they're one step below the world. Does that make sense? They said, and I forget who was talking about this, they said when people started public bathing together, men and women, I know this sounds so deranged, right? People didn't used to, men went on one beach and women went on another beach, okay? That's how, and then they started bathing together. Of course, you ever seen those old bathing suits where they're like long sleeves, head to toe? When they did, the church started, you know, public bathing, and then they got one pieces, and then the church went to the whatever you call it, and when the people went to bikinis and stuff, then the church went to the one piece. It's just like one step away. They look at society and think, oh, well, it must be okay because society's ordained it. And we got a generation that had a president go, it's okay to marry a man. Now, old people like me are going, no way. There is no way this happened in America. But younger people are more like, well, you know, it's kind of unkind to not let them. Does that make sense? It's not unkind. It's unkind to tell somebody that you can live any way you want and go to heaven because you're lying to them, and someday they will find out the price for living like that is hell. Oh, no, God. Liars, adulterers, fornicators, effeminate with men. And by the way, it's went far from homosexual. Yes, homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, they can, you know, they can be celibate or whatever, but you can't be practicing that, okay? And by the way, people living outside of marriage, same thing. It's fornication. Fornication is having sexual relations outside of marriage. Period. My generation started making it acceptable. I got to repent for that because it was not acceptable at one time. There were people that did it, but it wasn't acceptable. And now there's no social, anyway. And I said this last week, I think, but if the Lord's angels, which we've been having some visitation, you seen today? Did you? Big ones? They're all big, aren't they? Really? There ain't them little ones playing a harp and has a bow in it. No, I didn't think so. Well, if the Lord's angels, say if the Lord's angels beckon to his word, say, no, wait a minute. Say, wait a minute. The word of God says that the angels beckon to God's word. So it's not an if. They do. So they're here. Praise God. They're here. When you do your family devotions with the Bible, they're there. Praise God. They're just waiting to see what you're going to do with it. So if the angels beckon to God's word, wouldn't it be wise to know his word? Wouldn't it be wise to know his word in every situation? If the Lord's angels beckon to his word, and they do, wouldn't it be nice to speak his word? Wouldn't it be even nicer to live his word? Faith comes by hearing. Right? That's why I think you need to listen to it and read it at the same time. Husbands, if you want to read it out loud, praise God. Wives, if you want to read it out loud, praise God. But maybe you're not good at doing that. Guess what? You can push a button and somebody will do it for you. It's so easy to consume the Word of God now. It has been made so easy. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The written Word of God, the revelation Word of God, the Rhema Word of God. Amen? Amen. You ever had the Rhema Word of God happen to you when you were reading the Bible? Sometimes you read through it mindlessly. And I know it's you shouldn't do that, but sometimes it's just like just going through it. But then all of a sudden, something hits you, and God says, this is for you, and this is what it means. And when that happens, isn't that cool? If you had that happen, you read through the Bible 20 times, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, I didn't know this was here. Or, wow, I didn't know it meant that. So that's exciting when that happens, isn't it, Caleb? Been happening to you? So-so. What's that? You haven't read your Bible in a few days. No condemnation, see? When you don't do what God tells you to do, it's no condemnation on you. You're condemning yourself. And I'm not saying you did that because you haven't been in the Bible for a few days. I'm sure you were praying in tongues solid the whole time. Just messing with you. 1 Corinthians, this is the Word of God. Say, this is the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Listen, no temptation. No temptation. Nada. None. No. Right? Is that what that means in Greek? Yes. No. No temptation has overtaken you. In other words, you're running hard with God and this temptation comes and passes you up and waits on the path for you. That's not the way it works. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. Everybody's tempted. Jesus was tempted, was he not? Yes. But he didn't give in, right? But God is faithful. Say it. God is faithful. What does that mean to you? God is faithful. He's got your back. I like that. He is faithful. He is faithful and he will not allow you. Listen. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. We've all got thresholds. Amen? Some of us are strong in some areas. Some of us are weak in some areas, but God knows your threshold. And if you will stand strong, he'll send an army of angels in to stop that temptation for you. But tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation, it says he's going to let temptations will come. Amen? Temptations are going to come to all of us, but it says with the temptation will also make a way to escape. I'm not going to run from nothing. You better run. It said, young person, you better run. I think Solomon said, when that prostitute comes out tempting you and stuff, you better run. They'll kill you. It will kill you. It will literally kill you. Don't even entertain it. That's right. That's why Jesus said what? He said, hey, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out with a pair of needle-nose pliers. It don't say that. That sounds gross, don't it? Pluck your eye out. He said it would be better for you for your eye to be plucked out than for you to what? Burn in hell. If your arm causes you, you know. And, of course, I could say he don't literally mean it, but it literally does mean it would be better. It would be better to go to the kingdom of God blind than it would be to live in sin, wouldn't it? Praise God. You know, and no, that y'all might, that might challenge your theology. Never mind. Will also make a way of escape with that temptation that you may be able to bear it. You know, it might be a temptation that follows you around the rest of your life. Sometimes you never get free of that temptation, you know. Some people are prone to lust. Some people are prone to lie. Some, you know, there's different sin that so easily ensnares you. What was that word? It said, help me. That so easily besets you. Yes. I like King James. That's what I memorized all my verses in. Now when I go to NKJV Concordance, I'm in trouble because it don't come up, right? So let's stand up a second. Humor me, would you? This is, sometimes you do something physical to make something spiritual happen. And you can say it in your own words, but say, Lord Jesus, I repent. Hold your hands up. I repent. I'm sorry for all the times I gave in to temptation. You were faithful. You made a way out, but I fell. So wash me, Jesus, in your blood. Make me strong in you in the power of your might. I will be a mighty man or woman of God in Jesus' name. All right. There's more, but y'all got to sit down in between teachings. No, you don't have to. You can stand all you want. And I wrote this down, and I believe it is high. You know, on this thing, you can put all caps. And when you do that, it looks, whoa, that looks really powerful, you know. It's time, listen, this is a true statement. It is time to quit making excuses for our failures and the church's failures. It's time to quit. Time. It's time. It's over, man. These excuses for not living right, not living righteous, not living holy, it's time to quit making excuses for that. Because if Jesus makes a way out of our temptations, and moi, it all points back to Mark. When he falls, and don't think Mark don't fall. He does, man. He's got to get back up. He's got to repent. He said, don't sin. Did Jesus say this? Say, don't sin. Don't sin. But if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his blood will wash me from all sin. You made a way out. Praise God. If I fall 100 times and get up, he made a way out. But let's quit saying, well, sometimes you even think before you do it, well, God will forgive me just this one more time. Now, that's kind of using him for a, you ever play Monopoly? You know, there's a little card you get called a get-out-of-jail-free card. Don't play it. Don't pull a get-out-of-jail-free card with Jesus. That, you know, repentance means I'm sorry and I'm, to the best of my ability, I'm not going to do that again. It's not like, well, I sinned again, and I'll probably do it tomorrow, but forgive me, Jesus, wash me. No, that's not a holiness attitude, is it? By the way, the holiness church got ripped a whole lot, man, but you know what? Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. So I know it's not about wearing yard-long dresses, and it's not about wearing your hair down to the floor, which is fine with me. That's not what holiness is. You know, holiness is reading the Word of God, believing the Word of God, and following the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Philippians 4:11. And I put this whole section in here because sometimes I don't like pulling stuff out of context. But not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned. Say, I have learned. in whatever state I am in to be content. You got to learn that, man. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. In other words, I know how to have great riches. I know how to have nothing. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do, this is what you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's say that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's say it like we mean it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One more time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what he's saying right now? Then just do it. Do it. That Nike commercial, which Nike means victory in Greek, don't it? I think it does. No, I think if you look up victory in your Strong's Concordance, it'll say victory. Or victory's Nike, Nike, whatever. It's kind of interesting, really. Of course, we can't match up the tennis shoes because we know that they're far from victorious in Jesus. At least their philosophy is. But so what we need to do is start speaking the word of the Lord, to proclaim it together. So let's stand up again. Is that okay? Might install some kneeling benches behind these dudes, man. Pop-up chairs. We may need, no, in Jesus' name, I rebuke that. We're not going to be pop-up chair people in Jesus' name. No. Spring-loaded, get me out of this chair. I know the feeling. See, I get to stand here the whole time. Y'all got to stand up. We're going to proclaim this together like we mean it. Say, it's going to come from my heart. It's going to change the way I feel. It's going to strengthen me in Jesus' name. Say, the Lord is on my side. Say, the Lord is on my side. Angels are on my side. The Holy Spirit is on my side. My brothers and sisters are on my side. Amen. Amen. But time is not on my side. No, it ain't. Time is not on your side. That was a very true song by a very heathenistic man. Time is not on your side. You can sit down. I'm going to make you get up again, but you can sit down. 2 Corinthians 6:2. I'm sure Mick Jaggers was reading this when he wrote that song. In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And salvation don't just mean, hey, I got saved. Chuck got saved, praise God. What an awesome testimony. And there's fruits of repentance coming off of him. Praise the Lord for that. But salvation's not only spiritual salvation. Your soul gets renewed. Your soul gets restored. Amen. That's what cleansing stream's talking about. So he restores my soul. Your body can be healed. Praise God if you got infirmities in your body. I mean, salvation can be body, soul, and spirit, right? Amen. So let's not limit God to one thing, because he is a mighty God. He cares about every aspect of your life, doesn't he? Doesn't he? Amen. Now, I looked up salvation in the Greek, and, you know, I'm not a Greek scholar, but if you got a Strong's, people will think you are. Salvation means to deliver, to rescue, to safety, physically or morally, deliver, health, salvation, save the body, soul, and spirit. Preservation, safety, and salvation. I mean, it's got a definition this long, but it just kind of repeats itself. So salvation is a big, encompasses every part of your life. So say, praise God, I'm saved. Praise God, I need to get more saved. You can't get no more saved in your spirit, you know. You get born again, you're born again, right? Listen to this second. Listen to this verse in the Message. I like it sometimes. It is so cool. God reminds us, I heard your call in the nick of time. I like that. The day you needed me, I was there to help. Well, now is the right time to listen, the day to be helped. Don't put it off. Don't frustrate God's work by showing up late. Don't frustrate God's word by showing up late, throwing a question mark over everything he's doing. Think about that. Don't question the Most High God. He's right on time. He's got a time and a place. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. Not that he won't meet you somewhere else, but his best you've missed, you know. You don't want to miss his best for your life. And it goes on to say, our work as God's servants gets validated or not in the details. People are watching us, and we stand at our post alertly and unswervingly in hard times, in tough times when we're beaten up, jailed, mobbed, and then ... So he's there in the good times. He's there in the bad times. And people are watching how you react to the rough times. You know? They watched you, Chuck. You were faithful through this whole thing. Not that you're not broken. Not that, you know, of course. Of course you're broken when this happens. Anybody would be. But they looked at you and you didn't curse God. You didn't say, curse God and die. You know, you stayed with him and you did things right. And a lot of y'all have been through very hard times and you have not cursed God. You've stayed with him. You have said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So congratulations. You've come through many toils, trials, and there may be some more. In fact, I'll just about guarantee you there'll be some more. But you'll come out. You'll come out warriors. You'll come out warriors. And you look around and say, well, man, we're a small body. But you know what? When I think of how many Jesus had, I don't know how many he had. I know he had 12. Well, he had 11, really, I guess. But you know where there was, and possibly that's why this church isn't full, because I'm not one of those. I'm one of those 2.8%. Amen? And, you're not one of those 2.8% either. You believe the Word of God? You believe it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you know what? You're peculiar. You're weird. You're strange. You're a fanatic. You're a Jesus freak. Praise God. Say, praise God. Praise God. I'm a Jesus freak. Just get freakier. Really. Really, the time to be silent. There never was a time to be silent, but for sure in these days is not a, what's that? Yes. And I appreciate y'all dancing. And I would have joined you, but actually since I put on 30 pounds, I just can't get airborne no more. And when I do, when I hit, it's kind of a rough landing. So I'm going to do it again, praise. I am going to do it again. Like Chuck liked it. Chuck's the only one I knew at that time. I think I can dance well. I think I can dance. I can dance! I'll do that when I get my 30 pounds off. Amen. Like Jed Clampett. What? You got to stomp a little bit. Got to put some boots on. Luke 18, and I made it 8B. Have you ever seen them do that where they bust a verse in half? I decided to do it today. 8B, my own B I made up. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Because you're going to be here and I'm going to be here. It's coming soon, soon, soon. Acts 3:16, and his name through faith in his name, who's his? Jesus has made this man strong. Remember, Peter and him was walking in the temple and there's a crippled man standing there begging for alms. What's an alms? Oreos, what is it? Money, food. We'll work for food, you know, but this guy was really crippled. And Peter goes, hey, silver and gold, I have none. What I have, I give to you. Rise up and walk. And what happened? He rose up and walked, and he danced all around the temple, didn't he? That was most undignified. They didn't like that. They didn't like seeing that man get up and dance. That was not religious enough. Has made this man strong whom you see and you know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. It says, in his name and faith in his name. So you can go, Jesus, 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 all day long. And if you don't have faith in his name, you got nothing. In the name of Jesus, you can even squall like a wild Pentecostal. If you don't have Jesus living in here and speaking through you, there's nothing there. But praise God, when you do, power. There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen? There's power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Yes. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. It says, yes, the faith which comes through him, the faith that comes through Jesus has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Can I read you one more? And then we're going to repent some. You stand up again, I'll let you go because I know we've been here a while. What time is it? Who cares? Believe me, the restaurants are still full of other church people, really. When you get out of here, you can go sit down and you won't even have to wait. Is that true? Now, if we decided to start getting out at 11:30, it'd be so packed you couldn't even get in. I not got no problem with getting out of church at 11:30 if you start at 8:30. Hebrews 11:5-6. Okay, by faith, Enoch was, listen to this. By faith, Enoch was taken away. By faith, Enoch was taken away, translated, transferred, and I put raptured in there. Enoch was, he walked with God and he was no more. He just disappeared. What's that a picture of? To me, that's a picture of Jesus coming back and taking away his bride. So Enoch is still, I guess he got a glorified, I don't know what happened to him. But he got, he was gone. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. He didn't die. And was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible. Say, it's impossible to please God without faith. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Say, I believe he is. And I believe he's a rewarder. I believe he's a rewarder. I believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I do. Have you ever given a testimony? Have you ever given a testimony? Raise your hand if you've ever given a testimony to what the Lord's done. Then he was a rewarder. He rewarded you. And then you told it and he was pleased. Because he gave it to you so you could be a walking testimony, right? And he loves you. He loves you, man. He knows the desires of your heart, and a lot of them he put in there. A lot of them are just flesh, but a lot of the desires that he's given you spiritually, he put in there, and he wants to see it accomplished. So he ain't giving up on you. You give up on yourself. I said you give up on yourself. I said you give up on yourself. And you get 50 or 60 years old and go, oh, man, there ain't no time left. Oh, it's just about over. It ain't over till it's over, man. Till the fat lady, and I always wondered where that came from. But, well, no, and what I'm saying is I heard Sid Roth talking the other day, and he said, here he's turned 80 years old, and he said, you know what, that's pretty old. And he thought, no, it ain't old, man. Think of Abraham. Yep. Think of the mighty people of God that lived 120 years. It ain't over. Your best years are yet to come. Right. You believe that? Yep. Some of y'all are only 40-something. How many of y'all are 40-something? 40. Okay, you're 30-something. Okay, some of y'all are 50-something. Some of y'all are 60-something. Some of y'all are 70-something. Anybody 80? You're 80? I never would have guessed it, man. I see. Oh, you pushed your glasses back. I didn't think you looked a day over 79, man. No, I'm just messing with you, man. You look great. Okay, I got a few things we need to repent of, and then I will shut up. I'm sorry I got scripture with these, but if I didn't, I couldn't tell you this. 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 8. I remind you to stir up the gift of God. Who said that earlier? Stir it up. I think it was Chuck. Stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. So he says, fear not, don't be afraid. 1 John 4:17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Sounds like a demonic, it sounds like an exorcism, don't it? Perfect love casts out fear. It pretty much is, isn't it? Perfect love casts out the demon of fear. Because we know fear is not of the Lord. So if you're walking in fear with something, you need to put it under the blood of Jesus, don't you? I'll tell you what, let's stand up and repent. These words of your mouth, these are words of your mouth that you need to take very seriously. When we repent of something, I believe it's doing something inside of us when we spell it out like we are. Lord God, in Jesus' name. I repent. I change my mind. I used to be afraid, but now I'm bold. You have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I embrace that. I reject fear. I command you in Jesus' name. I command you in Jesus' name, fear, to leave. To go. Fear of the future? Go. Fear of loss? Go. Fear of family being captivated by the enemy? Go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Fear of the future? Go. In Jesus' name. Somebody else got another one? Fear of man? Go. Fear of man? Go. In Jesus' name. Fear of fear? Go in Jesus' name. Fear of death, go. Say it. Fear of death, go in Jesus' name. Fear of failure. Go in Jesus' name. I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. Man, y'all sound bold. Isn't that arrogant? No, that's just repeating what God said about you. You are more than a conqueror. What's a conqueror? Somebody goes into an army and overtakes a nation. Rah! We are overtaking a nation. A wicked nation, an evil nation. I'm not talking about America. I'm talking about Satan's kingdom, which they say he has no kingdom at all. But he's pushed his way in, right? So, keep standing. I really did. I should have had this young man knows how to use an iPad up here. And I wouldn't have done this. Okay, we got fear. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will all these things be?" In other words, the signs of the coming of his return and the coming of the end of the age. And Jesus answered, "Take heed, no one deceive you. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended." Say, many will be offended. And what will happen then? They'll betray each other, won't they? And I lost my place is the reason I ask you. Many will be offended and betray one another and hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, which we're living in a lawless world right now, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many or most will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come in Jesus' name. So, Lord God, in Jesus' name, we repent right now. Say, I repent of any cold love. I repent of unforgiveness, especially those in the house of God, especially those, in my opinion, deserve it. I didn't get what I deserved, right? I didn't get what I deserved, Lord. I choose to forgive. Say, I choose to forgive. I will not have cold love. I will have white hot, hot love for my family, for my spouse, for my church, for my nation, for my enemies. Wash me, Jesus. One more, and I'm not going to read any scripture. We need to repent of not fellowshipping with the Lord. We need to repent of not spending time in the secret place with Him. And as good as you feel when you come out of the secret place with Him, why would we ever run from it? Just like when you told Mom and Daddy a lie and you kind of, when you had a conscience, before you turned into a total heathen, you had a conscience. And you told a lie, and you kind of ached inside, but you wanted to avoid Mom and Dad. You know they loved you, but you wanted to avoid them because there was something between you. So you need to get that dividing. You need to repent is what we're doing. Then you need to follow Him and love Him and sing to Him and pray to Him. And you all do it different. We're all different. We all got different ways of loving Him, but He loves who you are. Somebody said we were singing to the Lord. Who said we were singing to the Lord? But I know Valinda. Well, yeah, y'all were singing to the Lord, but it sounded horrible. Well, I know you don't mean that, but really, guess what? He gave you the voice He gave you so you could sing horribly to Him. And I'm, no, really, I'm sure it sounds like sweet. It's like your little kid's hymn. I love you. You know, you don't have to be perfect about it, but you know that love's there. So, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Father, Lord Jesus, forgive me for not spending quiet time with you in the secret place. The secret place of the Most High can be in my car. It can be in my room. It can be in the woods. It can be anywhere. So, Lord, lead me there, that secret place where I can meet with you. Give me the desire. Lord, change me. I'm not an intimate type person, but, Lord, I want to be with you. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Watchman, I believe it was, correct me if I'm wrong, but Watchman Nee, wasn't he a prisoner in China for some time, or am I thinking of somebody else? Was that Watchman Nee? His secret place was when they sent him down to stand in human waste up to his waist, and he'd take a bucket and he would bail it out. And that was his secret place because nobody got down there and wanted to be around him. He could sing to the Lord all he wanted. He could praise the Lord all he wanted. That was his secret place. And that sounds ridiculous, but it's not. That just shows you God has a creative place for you. And man, you know, never mind. Lord God, I bless these people, Lord. You bless them, Jesus. I just agree with you. Bless them going out. Bless them coming in. Bless them with authority in the kingdom of God. Bless them, Jesus, with more of you. And oh yeah, bless them with finances too, Lord, so they don't have to struggle so hard. Bless them with a warm place to sleep. Bless them with food. Thank you for your blessings, God. Thank you for letting us live in America. Thank you, God. We've got it made, really, but Lord, spiritually, we need help. So Lord, help us to crucify the flesh and walk in the Spirit. And bless families, bless children. Bless children that are close to you and keep them there. Bless children that are far away and need to come home. Yeah.